Hey guys, welcome back to .NET Conf. I'm Jason, this is Adrian. We're actually going to be your hosts for quite a few sessions today, six of them, as a matter of fact. So this first one up, we're going to talk to you about continuous integration, continuous delivery, also known as DevOps.
DevOps, right, absolutely.
With Visual Studio Team Services specifically. So let's tell them a little bit about ourselves first, shall
we? Absolutely, fantastic. So as you said, my name is Adrian. I'm Adrian Stevens. I'm actually the curriculum manager for Xamarin University. And that means I work with the very talented people that create the courses that we teach live and run online at Xamarin U. And actually, Jason, you know a little bit about Xamarin U as well, don't you?
I do know a little bit about the curriculum that his team creates, since my job is to be a trainer and essentially do exactly what I'm doing with you guys today, which is teaching you all about development, about things like Azure development, about mobile development with Xamarin. We do it with live classes, just like we're doing here today. And in fact, there's usually quite a few less people involved in the classes. We usually keep it reasonable at about 20 to 40 people, so we generally have a really interactive environment where you can actually ask questions, make sure your questions get answered, find out why something's done the way it is.
So that means I can take a class and actually ask you questions during the class while we're doing the exercise.
And then even not just a regular question either. I mean, a full-fledged discussion, right? We can actually discuss it, figure it out, work together on why things are the way they are. And, you know, it's like a regular class, right? We have like 20 to 40 people. It's not broadcast to thousands of people like, well, this.
Now, sounds pretty fantastic.
It is, but we also have a bunch of free material as well.
That's right. So Xamarin University, a lot of free content. We have our self-guided learning, a great place to get started with Xamarin development, both for Xamarin Forms and native, so it's Xamarin Android, Xamarin iOS. A ton of Azure as well.
A lot of Azure and a lot of testing. Yeah,
absolutely.
So everything you need to really become a great Azure or mobile developer, we've got you covered.
So head on over to university.xamarin.com if that's interesting. You want to get into mobile development with C#.NET. But now let's talk some DevOps.
Let's talk DevOps. That's
excellent.
What we're here for, right?
So we've got a lot of ground to cover today.
We do, and we're going to be focusing on Visual Studio Team Systems. We do have a couple other things to look at. Azure does some interesting stuff by itself.
Oh, absolutely.
And of course, we've got Mobile Center to touch on as well.
Right. Yeah, we're from Xamarin. We love mobile, so we'll talk a little bit about Mobile Center.
Yeah, we definitely have that as our first love. So you'll see that sneak in even in the non-mobile discussions occasionally.
But with that, let's start with Visual Studio Team Services. And I think we need to step back just a little bit and just talk about DevOps in general.
Yeah, so what is it about? Why are we talking about DevOps? Why do we care? And it really comes down to kind of automation and collaboration. So when I can check in code and that automatically builds, then my whole team can see, A, that I check something in. We can have a dashboard. We can see that it happened. My team knows I check something in. If I'm tracking bugs, tracking issues, we can see that something was checked in against that bug, against that issue. So maybe it's fixed. Now, the product manager or the tester can watch that dashboard, see, okay, it's ready for me to test that now. That thing got checked in against this bug, the build happened, and it got deployed to my test server. You can see that the collaboration and the automation kind of work together. They're all one. It's all one thing.
Fantastic. So it's a lot, it's really about having the developers work with other parts of the organization, you know, with the operations.
Right. In fact, I kind of used to think of DevOps as development operations, but it's not. It's development and operations, because the testers are involved, the deployment's involved, product management is involved in that whole thing, because it also includes bug tracking. It also includes our goals, our issues, our stories.
Okay, so I'm hearing a lot about DevOps, and I'm excited. But now, where do I go to start practicing DevOps? Sounds like there's a lot of moving pieces here.
Yeah, maybe, just maybe, visualstudio.com or Visual Studio Team Services
absolutely
would be a way to do it.
But you mentioned a lot of things. Are you saying that we can do all of these things in VSTS?
Exactly. We can do all of these things. We can manage all of these things, right? So even our user stories, our bugs, and then when we check in code, our source control can be in VSTS. We check in bugs, we attach it to a specific, we check in a commit and attach it to a specific bug or a specific feature request. A build kicks off automatically.
Again, back to that collaboration you're talking about, and then I'm hearing some automation as well for this stuff as developers that we really love.
Absolutely, right? So if we do it more than twice, we want to script it, right? Well, we can even drag and drop it sometimes, and we're going to actually look at how there's kind of a combination of having to write our own scripts and really understand the materials ourselves pretty well. But also, some of it's drag and drop, and some of it's really, really easy, depending on what we're trying to accomplish.
So maybe we should have a look.
Let's do.
Excellent. So we're going to use an ASP.NET web application for our first demo project here. Of course, that's a very common type of project that we'll all use as C# and .NET developers. And it's also a perfect project to work with Azure. Of course, that's the ideal place to host our ASP.NET applications.
Absolutely.
So let's jump over and look at some code first.
So, and we might have another .NET Conf session where we talk a lot about Azure today.
Absolutely. You know, we're big fans of Xamarin, but we're also big fans of Azure. And the two really go hand in hand. All right, so let's look at our web app here. I don't want to spend a lot of time going through the details of the project. Again, it's a web app, and we're really primarily using it as to expose a REST endpoint.
And I think some other people might have adequately covered how to do ASP.NET development today.
So absolutely.
We saw a lot of great sessions around that today already.
So we'll talk more about the integration, you know, what to do with our source code. And I love Visual Studio. I can sit down, I can start coding away, and then I love the Azure integration, and I can deploy to Azure right here from my project. And should we give that a try? Should I just publish right now?
Absolutely. So Okay. We've got that publish right there.
Excellent. And push the publish button. Now, I've connected this to my Azure account already. And I've got a web app already set up on Azure. And I can publish. I can push this. And I see it's asking for my password here. I won't push it in right now. But if I put that in, then it would deploy to Azure, right?
And actually getting that so that our Visual Studio and our Azure account are completely tied together so that it's not doing that is actually trivial. We actually download something called a publish profile. You'll see that when he shows you the portal shortly. It's trivial to actually get that wired up, but of course it's not necessarily the most secure to just have anyone who can walk up to your Visual Studio machine immediately just publish code.
Right. And it's a little bit, it feels a little bit loose that I'm just deploying right to Azure,
it
possibly
is.
Right to production.
So, right, I don't see an underscore test or anything like that on your URL. So, So I feel like you might just be publishing code directly to production right now from your development machine. I don't even know if you've checked that code into source control. I don't know if the original source is going to be completely lost once that thing goes to production. So I don't know what's going to production.
Because, of course, we're presenting the artifacts on Azure. We're
sending some compiled app to it.
So of course, hopefully we're using some sort of source code repository, but we're not required to. And some of the convenience in Visual Studio also lends us to maybe just jump right to the punchline.
I think we know that the convenience and security are always at odds. And in this case, I'd be comfortable with a little bit more security rather than just pressing a button and changing production. So we, of course, have many options. We're going to hear that a lot in really all of our .NET Conf sessions, but options abound. So we're going to look at some really, really good options, and you guys will pick and choose what makes sense for your scenario.
All right, so let's push over to the Azure portal. And here you can see I've got a few resources. And the one I want to focus on, of course, is our web app. And here is in their app service. And let's just open up, have a look.
Yeah, great.
And we'll just give this a moment to load up. Now, of course, we can create these fairly easily in the Azure portal. Just push the new button, search for web app, and follow the standard practices. You're going to set a resource group, a pricing tier, a location. So fairly standard practice for creating new access on Azure.
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, well covered through .NET Conf today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, this week.
You can see here about our standard pricing tier setup. We get a lot of information here on the overview. So let's take a look at, want to head over to deployment options?
Deployment options is a place to go. We're going to see deployment options here, and we'll see that not only can we just grab a publish profile and let Visual Studio just completely overwrite everything that's going on. But notice how we have these integration options with different source control setups. And of course, Visual Studio Team Services prominently displayed amongst those, but also other things you'd expect like Bitbucket and GitHub. And surprisingly,
and a couple I wouldn't expect, actually. So we see OneDrive and Dropbox, which are pretty fantastic.
So they do technically track changes, I think, but I don't know. I wouldn't use those as my source control, but you can apparently
The fantastic, we have the options, and I love that's what I love about Azure is the flexibility.
Right, the options. And again, options that are appropriate to you.
But I agree. I love a proper source control repository, a full-blown tracking system. So something like Git, and without talking about GitHub, Bitbucket, and of course, Visual Studio Team Services.
Yeah, exactly. That's definitely the way I choose to handle it is VSTS or Bitbucket or GitHub. And the way this basically works is we can set it up through Azure, but once we set this whole thing up, what's actually going to happen is that when we check something into GitHub, GitHub's going to reach out to Azure and say, "Hey, Azure," it's called a webhook. They reach out to Azure and just kind of ping it, say, "Hey, Azure, something happened." Azure will then go and pull all of our source, and it will build our source in the Azure environment. So we'll actually have a build happen. We might, if we get a chance, look a little bit at how that build goes on, but the build happens right there in Azure and then deploys to our site.
So again, we're really seeing tight integration with all these services. Really fantastic.
Yeah, and we don't have, this isn't a full workflow, obviously, yet at this point, but one advantage this has over that published profile, the thing that we looked at, is that now I know for sure that your code is tracked.
Right, we're tracking changes. We can review changes. I can collaborate now.
And the only way that your code got to production, or got to that server anyway, is by putting it in source control. So at least I know I can always go back and see what's in my production.
So we've got a history, we've got a record. We know what's going on.
Right. And now we're not gonna really go deep on this, but another thing I wanna say, we talked about the webhook to production, but what if we're not even talking about production? What if I want to just make sure that every commit, because we want it to be tested, so every commit goes into a testing environment? Well, for that, we have deployment slots. And you can see we have deployment slots as an option down there as well.
Here we go.
And so with deployment slots, I can add a slot and add something, for instance, like test or QA or whatever I want. And this will actually generate a test.jasonswebsites.azurewebsites.net or whatever we've called our. It creates that extra level on the domain where we can visit that test dot, do whatever we want, make sure it works. We can maybe point our mobile apps at it if this is a web API. I can point my mobile apps or my other sites at it, make sure they integrate well.
Anyways, we saw how quickly that happens as well. Just as Jason was talking, we made a new deployment slot and up it comes.
It's kind of like a whole virtual environment. Literally, there is a website there now. It's kind of scary how easy this is. And so now we can test that. If it is a website with a UI, then we'll go on and test it. We'll go on and see if it does what we want. And once we're happy with it, there's a swap button up there.
Excellent. So I can swap between the deployment slots. So I can deploy to my testing slot, make sure that my web app is behaving as I would expect.
In the test environment.
And then go live.
Hit that swap button.
After I validated.
Exactly. Hit that swap button. So bearing in mind, maybe our GitHub webhook or our VSTS webhook deployed to this test environment. We set up our deployment options to go there. So now that's deployed to our test environment. And our QA person, our tester, or maybe it's just us, we go and we make sure it works the way we expect. Hit the swap button. Now everything that's in my test environment goes to my production environment. And actually, everything that's in my production environment goes to the test environment, which by itself may seem a little strange that we actually do a swap. We don't just push everything forward and something drops off the top or whatever. It may seem a little strange, but what's great about this is if we realize after the swap that maybe we weren't quite right about how dead on perfect this deployment was.
We can restore the old version.
I can put it back.
Love it.
Yeah.
Okay, now you talked about a whole bunch of DevOps stuff. You got me all excited. Where's the rest of that?
Right, but exactly. We're still limited right now because when I do it this way, somebody still has to be paying attention to that the check-in happened, or maybe the developer checked in and is going to email the QA person and say, hey, I checked stuff in. It's not really fully automated yet if we have an entire process, if we have a lot of people, if we have a collaboration involved.
That's right. So this is where Visual Studio Team Services comes in.
Yeah, and at this point, we don't even have necessarily a way to track our bugs or a way to create new ideas for what our app should do next. And again, where Visual Studio Team Services comes in. So Adrian's got visualstudio.com up. That is the also known as Visual Studio Team Services. And go ahead and start walking us through the project that you have set up there.
Absolutely. And so notice the URLs. It says astevens.visualstudio.com. So this is my account, and this is really it's my URL for VSTS. And I've got a couple of projects set up here, and the one I want to focus on is our web app. And this has been set up for an ASP.NET web app, but I'll show you, it's quite easy to create a new project. And I don't like to use the word easy very often, but they have made this a pretty quick process. So we give our project a name, my cool web app, add a description, and then notice.
All Adrian's web apps are cool.
Well, I know, descriptive, we've got our version control here. And so, of course, we're big fans of Git, but we're also big fans of Team Foundation version control. And so if you've used TFS back in the day, you've got existing projects, this might be your comfort zone.
Yeah, and either way, Either way, it's hosted right inside your visualstudio.com account. Either way, you can access it remotely at that URL. If you're more comfortable with distributed version control like Git, then you just use that and it works exactly like every other Git remote.
Absolutely.
If you're a Team Foundation server person, then you've got that option as well.
Now, I see a couple other options here. I see your work item process.
Yeah, so depending on how you manage your actual project management, how you like to create your stories, your user stories, do you like epics involved? Right? How do you like to have burndown charts? You can select the appropriate pattern that you're using as your project management in your environment.
Now that sounds like a lot. Do I have to use all these features then? I make a new project?
No. I mean, it asks you how you want to set things up. But for instance, you may not actually even leverage the version control here. You may be using GitHub, but then do your builds and manage your work items through here.
So it's very flexible.
Exactly.
Fantastic. And we notice here this form is fairly short, and I push the create button and off we go. Now we'll make a new one here. Let's go back and look at an existing project.
Let's do.
So let's have a look at our Excel web app. Now let's start looking at the source code. So
excellent.
In this project, we're hosting our code with VSTS. And if we go to our code tab.
This is actually Git. This is a Git repository hosted in VSTS.
Right, we can see our Git logo, but absolutely, that's really important. Now, we are using Git in VSTS, and we've got access to all of our source code. And so we can see our commits, we can see our change dates, so all of the features, everything you expect to see in a Git hosted repository, of course we have those features here. But there's some other really fantastic features.
What if I noticed a problem while I was browsing?
Absolutely, and he says that jokingly because, of course, we did this earlier in the week. We were poking around, having a look, and went, oh, wait, we have a typo. So we open up our, I'm going to open up the other one. This is our API controller. And we noticed a typo. We had a table, we had a column name incorrect.
Right. This is actually a little scary. So I'm gonna tell you guys, we have six sessions for .NET Conf, and all of them interact with the website we're about to live deploy for you.
Actually, I'll show you here.
We like to live dangerously.
So you see below, we actually be using partition key for our column, and this endpoint here is using partition. So I can push the edit button, make the change, and commit. We'll say,
and so now this is committing to that repo, not some local repo on my machine. It's actually committing to what it's local to VSTS.com.
Absolutely. Git, fantastic editor, really friendly tools. I'm a big fan.
So if I go to pull from my machine now,
absolutely,
I'll get
of course.
That change.
So let's head over to build and release.
Excellent.
So source code tracking is fantastic. It's an important feature, and really, I'll just say it, we should all be using it in some form. But this is where it gets really interesting.
But if you only have source code, then you're not getting much done.
Well, yeah. So let's get to the real the DevOps portion of this. So we're going to do some automation. And so actually, this is quite interesting. Notice here. So here is our project. This is actually our build definition. So I'm jumping ahead. But notice this in progress. And so we've actually got this project wired up. So whenever we make a commit, a build happens
exactly.
Automatically.
And you saw him make the change, make the commit, and in this case, it was committed directly to that repository. If it was done on our local repository, obviously, we'd have to push it to visualstudio.com. But once visualstudio.com knows there's a new commit, it's going to kick off that build, because that's how he configured his build definition.
Right, but we didn't take any extra steps. We made a change to our code,
and
the build
started
has happened.
Building.
So how would we set that up? Well, let's create a new build definition.
Please do it.
Push the button. I do like our friendly interface. And now, okay, I see a lot of templates. Okay, so we've got some decisions to make here. And so I see here, so we've got .NET Desktop.
And we are of course, at .NET Conf. Yeah. And this is, of course, visualstudio.com. So you can imagine there's a lot of .NET and Visual Studio stuff. But it doesn't really stop there, does it?
No, I see some ASP.NET. And I see, even Azure. Let's come back to that one just a moment. But I want to scroll through this list here.
I want to see some of the stuff that really is going to be surprising.
Yeah, UWP. And then this is where it gets interesting. So we're not just talking about .NET languages. It's not just C#. I see Android.
So is that Android? Is that Xamarin Android? That would be .NET, right?
Well, this is Android, but we actually have a separate profile for Xamarin Android.
If I had a Java app, I could actually build that. Right here. I could, even though I'm a Java developer, I'm managing my workflow, I'm managing my continuous integration, continuous delivery through
VSTS. But not only can you do it with VSTS, but we've got the template set up for you as well.
So it's easy. It's actually point and click, just like a .NET developer has.
Absolutely.
I see Maven and Ant there as well. So again, things that are more part of a Java ecosystem. Yeah.
And
Node.
Node, absolutely.
Excellent.
And we can start an empty build definition and do it from scratch as well. But I love these templates, and I love all that it brings in for me. So let's start
with... They sure make it a lot easier.
You know, we saw our ASP.NET application is being hosted on Azure, so let's use the Azure Web App template. Going to hit Apply. And let's fill in our details first, then have a look at what happens, what the steps are. So first we need an agent queue. And I actually had Jason explain this to me, but I'm going to give it a try, and you can step in.
Wonderful.
Of course, we think about building our applications locally. We need something to kick off the build process. You know, we install our SDKs, our build tools, you know, MS Build, for example. Yeah. And those are all installed and they run locally when we build locally on the machine.
Well, they use the SDKs that we've installed for our Visual Studio environment, for our environment.
Right. So we need the comparable tools if we're going to have our apps being built in the cloud in VSTS. And so there's an agent queue, and it's hosted VS 2017. So it's a Visual Studio 2017 development environment that can do the build steps for us.
Right. And so visualstudio.com is kind of our workflow manager. It doesn't necessarily have every tool for Maven and every tool for Node and all that installed on this system. It's our workflow manager. It does have some convenient common agents that it's ready to use for us, like, of course, VS 2017. But we're able to create our own. For instance, maybe I want to compile my iOS application. Well, I'm going to have to run an agent on a Mac because thanks to
course,
certain...
right? Because we are required to have a Mac for
thanks
iOS
to
codes.
Certain licensing restrictions, we are not allowed to compile iOS code on anything but a Mac. That's a licensing restriction. So we're going to have an agent running on a Mac if we're trying to do that.
Excellent. And so we can customize here as
right.
well.
But in this case, we're perfectly happy with the Visual Studio 2017 environment that happens to be provided for us. So
perfect.
We don't need anything running locally for this build.
All right. So let's go through the other options here. So now remember we picked the template for an Azure deployment. And so you see it gives us the appropriate options for that deployment. So it's asking for our Azure subscription. Now, fortunately, I'm signed in, same account on VSTS that I am with Azure. And so this actually gets populated. And I can pick my Azure Connection account, and I'm all set. And now I can even pick my web app that's been deployed on my Azure account. And the list is populating. We'll skip this 1 second here.
You got a refresh button.
Might have to hit that refresh button there. There we go. Excellent. And I'll pick my Excel web app. There we go. One more time. Perfect. Excellent. Okay. So we have a quick look at the build process first before we run this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So look on the left-hand side. And so this template's brought in a lot of steps. So we see get source. So it's going to pull from our source code repository. Yeah. And then NuGet Restore. Again, that's really interesting. Of course, as .NET C# developers, we often use NuGet packages, and we build locally. We need those packages. So it's just a step to bring in any dependencies there. And then we're going to build our entire solution. We can run tests and then deploy to Azure. And this is really interesting as well. So you might think this is the last step for us, but we can actually get the publishing artifacts, so really the compiled binaries for our application. We have access to those as well. So let's save this and queue it.
Perfect.
Now, I'm not seeing build or run. I'm seeing the word queue. Why does it say queue, Jason?
Well, again, we've got these agents. So when I queue it up, I'm basically saying put it in a list for however many agents I happen to have. And I can provide my own agents, or I can pay to have optionally more agents instead of just the one that I get free. So I can select a number of agents that I might want to have, and I might be, contrarily, queuing up 10, 12 builds at a time. So it just goes in a queue, and our build agents grab them one by one as they have time, as they have a free space to do it. And the other thing with build agents is we don't necessarily just have one or one type. Our different build agents, and that's why we actually selected them at that one point, our different build agents can have different capabilities. And we'll see later, we can actually select when we're queuing up a build, we can demand, it'll say demands, and that means what capabilities does the build agent I'm going to run this queued build need? What does this agent need installed? Does it need, for instance, Xcode running on a Mac installed? Does it need Android SDK tools installed? Things like that. What do you got going on there?
So I see our build has started. I clicked on the build link, and here we're seeing the output from our build. And so notice on the left-hand side, we see a very similar list. We initialize our build agent, and then we're getting our source code. We're pulling our NuGet packages, our NuGet restore, building the solution. So all those steps we saw in the template are now being performed.
And what I really love here is when we think about, again, VSTS being a kind of a workflow tool, right? We're putting together different steps, different tasks. We're assembling them. And actually, each of those tasks is usually a command line tool. Command line tools have output. In fact, we generally try to make it verbose output when we're using this tool, when we're using VSTS, so we can see what's going on when we come back later.
So I can see the output of all these individual steps right
here in
the
console. Exactly, so we're seeing all this. If something goes wrong or something doesn't perform exactly as expected, we've got a lot of output here to look through, to play with, to figure out, to tweak, and make things happen exactly the way we want.
Fantastic. Unfortunately for here today, build was successful.
Just that easy.
Excellent. And we even made source code changes and it still worked. So.
And not only that, but we didn't just build, did we?
In this case,
one of those steps.
I see. Azure App Service Deploy.
So again, I want to point out, we just deployed to our actual website that every other demo we do is going to hit today. So scary stuff. We like to live dangerously.
We're very confident.
Yes, we are very confident people are crazy. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. But we did. We just deployed. So in this case, we saw taking yet another step forward in adding process and adding security around what we're doing and also adding steps of control. But we didn't create a separate release here. We just included release. In this case, we were confident enough or it worked for our process enough to include our release as part of this build.
All right. But we could have, say, deployed to one of those other deployment slots in Azure.
We might have deployed to one of the deployment slots, in which case this wasn't quite such a gamble.
Right.
But also, we could just, if you go down to the bottom for me there, we'll see that another thing we do is publish artifact. So you can see that we're publishing the artifact. We're putting this in a drop zone, and really all of our builds have that step. We'll see that step because this is where we can then kick off a release. And a release is an opportunity to then walk through a controlled workflow that it can actually involve human beings and mails being sent out and people approving going from one environment, maybe one deployment slot, to another environment, and that workflow will be managed for us. We'll look a little bit at that later.
So this is really talking about, well, one, the visibility we mentioned earlier, and also just the collaboration as well. So we bring in other parts of the organization.
Right, the testers now get to come in and say, that was good enough in the test environment, check. And that still is automated now where it moves to the next environment. It moves now to perhaps the stage environment or maybe directly to production.
Fantastic.
So
I know you're very passionate about mobile. Am I able to do mobile building here?
We absolutely are. And I actually want to switch over to my machine now. And we're gonna look at a couple interesting things, as well as something that's maybe not as simple as the environment that we saw with Adrian.
You can switch over to Jason's computer.
Yeah,
here.
Let's switch over to here if I can get my machine showing up there. And we will.
All right.
All right. I'm not quite seeing me yet. Ah, perfect. Okay, we got it.
Excellent.
And so let's go ahead and actually I will look at my Visual Studio solution first. You guys see that this is actually a mobile app here. And so I've got Android, I've got iOS, I've got UWP.
All right, that sounds familiar. What type of mobile app is this, Jason?
This is a Xamarin mobile app. This is a Xamarin Forms app, as a matter of fact. You can also see the XF. So this means I'm defining UI once and then I can run it on iOS, Android. We've got a lot of .NET Conf sessions to talk about that. So this is a mobile solution. This is an app that will end up becoming an app on your iOS device or on your Android device or on any of your Windows-type devices, be it desktop or other Windows platforms.
Fantastic.
Also, I've got a GTK platform here, teaser for a later session. We're going to run our Xamarin Forms on Linux. Super cool.
Excellent.
All right, but with mobile, we do have a slightly different situation. In a lot of solutions with Visual Studio or other build solutions, we're usually looking at one executable. We've maybe got the executable and its dependent libraries, or the libraries that it's pulling in, which may be other projects in the solution.
Right, so we have multiple projects, but ultimately there's one thing that's being run, one final output.
Yeah, exactly. One thing that kind of pulls everything else in, but that's not true with Xamarin. When I do a Xamarin project, what I'm really doing is saying I'm going to have an Android executable that can pull some of these things in. I'm going to have an iOS executable that can pull some of these things in. And so with that, I may need separate build processes. And I'll look at maybe how we can handle some of this now. I'm going to switch over to VisualStudio.com.
Of course, this makes sense because we know as Xamarin developers that we have different SDKs that have to be installed. We have different build requirements for those different platforms.
Exactly. So for instance, if I want to build my iOS application, then I'm going to need to build that, as we mentioned before, on a Mac. That's going to have different demands, different build agent, may need a lot of different requirements. So we could create a very elaborate MS build script, for instance, and then just have visualstudio.com run that very elaborate MS build script. You know, again, we have options. What I've chosen to do is actually create a couple separate builds. And let's look at then how I define those. I did have to walk through some things a little bit more complex. I did, in fact, start with a template. And I started with a UWP template for this one. This is me deploying my UWP environment.
Now, where is this code hosted?
My code is actually hosted in GitHub, so this is not hosted with Visual Studio Team Systems. However, when I set up my new build, when I said create new build, it asked me, where is the code for this coming from? And I simply selected GitHub instead of selecting local.
So fantastic. Again, seeing that flexibility of VSTS.
Yeah, exactly. So my project actually has no code associated with it here. It's getting the code. I'm managing my build and managing my workflow through here, but not my code. Options. So let's go ahead and look at editing my build here and see some of the customizations I had to make. And, you know, again, your project is going to be different. Your complexities are going to be different. What I'm trying to show here, what I'm trying to get across here is that we have complexity sometimes and that really this is a workflow management tool. This is a tool that's assembling other things. And so we use MS Build. We use NuGet.exe. If you have something that's a non-vanilla project, you're going to work with those tools, figure out those tools, and add the appropriate parameters into your project.
Now, I'm seeing a lot of similarities, though, to the ASP.NET project.
Absolutely, so, there are. So we're starting with Git sources, of course, and here we can see that I actually do have GitHub selected.
Excellent. We see our options, so lots of flexibility there.
Right, exactly. And so there's more options,
now,
of course, similar to the ones we saw on Azure.
You have a step crossed out now, so you're not pulling your NuGet package.
That's true. Actually, yeah. So this is use NuGet 4.1, and instead I'm just using the default NuGet. This was actually, this is a preview NuGet, and I said, nope, we'll just use the default one. I don't want to mess with that. So it ends up using the default NuGet EXE on the agent that I grab.
On that VS 2017 agent.
Exactly. Yeah. So now you'll also see that my default UWP build, it comes with one NuGet.exe, and that NuGet.exe points at the SLN file. The SLN file then, so when you point NuGet.exe at an SLN file, it's going to grab all of the NuGets or NuGets.
For all of the packages.
For all of the projects. Right. Exactly. That actually turns out to be a problem for me. Not so much because of the iOS build thing. I have another complexity. And again, my complexities are mine. Your environment will have its own. My complexity is GTK, that GTK project I showed you, that's pre-release.
Right, so that's not published yet. It's not public.
Exactly. Its NuGet packages aren't in NuGet.org. So if I say get all the NuGet packages for my solution, I end up with an error because of that. Now, I can't easily just omit one project. So my solution was to create several NuGet steps in here. So I cloned my NuGet steps, and then I pointed it at the projects that I did need to grab the NuGet packages for.
Oh, because you're able to pull it down the packages for a specific project in the solution.
Exactly. So here now I'm grabbing it for the acceleration in Gyro is one of the libraries, one of the projects that I will be building with my UWP solution. Xamarin Forms, this defines my UI. UWP is the head project to make sure it actually runs in Windows. And then I actually do have a test project as well. More on that in a minute.
Excellent.
So I grabbed all of the appropriate NuGet packages, and then down in my build solution here, now this I actually let it stay pointed at SLN. However, again, I can't build iOS. I can't build several of the platforms when I've set it up this way.
Right, again, because we're on effectively a Windows environment, a Visual Studio 2017 environment, not a Mac OS environment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what I've done instead is I've pointed this, I've said my build configuration should be pointing at a build configuration that only builds the projects I care about. Now, this is actually interesting. I don't have a clear build configuration here. Instead, I have a token identified right here. So that actually comes from my variables, and we can see I've defined that in the variables for my build task. Now, why did I put it here instead of actually just writing release underscore UWP in the build process step? Only because build configuration is likely to be a reused value. So we're just defining it up at the top so that it can be reused, and if I do end up changing this to, you know, 2, then that's available. So that's the only reason it's there. We could have just as easily hard-coded it. That would have been fine, too.
Now, there's some flexibility, too, at build time, is there not?
Yeah, when I actually queue this, I'll have the opportunity to overwrite this because of the settable checkbox right there. So we'll see that. When I hit queue, we'll see that come up. All right, so back to that. Now, we have release UWP as my build configuration that MS build step is pointing at under the configuration. So let's swap back to Visual Studio here. And we see that I have created a release UWP configuration. And release UWP does not build Android, GTK, or iOS because they're not needed to create my UWP executable.
But I see you've got some other projects up to here. So these are, of course, dependencies. So
right.
These are the libraries that you're pulling in for your UWP head project.
Exactly. Really, the libraries are the same ones that I pulled the NuGet packages for, with the exception of tests, which is not a dependency, although I did also pull the NuGet packages for it. It's not a dependency. However, it is something that I do want to build and run as part of my configuration.
And this should be pretty familiar to people. We had the same kind of configuration right in Visual Studio 2017 on our desktops.
This is actually, I did
this is actually
exactly where I did this. And then when I checked in, it was just part of the solution because I checked my solution in. Yeah, exactly. So I've defined that so that when it builds, when it sees that configuration, it only builds those specific projects. Then, of course, I do have my tests. So let's actually bounce back. I want to show you the tests. I left the tests really simple because, hey, I can demo without going crazy. So we have only a couple tests. By the way, our demos are pretty cool today. We're going to be working with some devices where we've actually plugged in accelerometer and gyroscopes and just have the chips sitting right on an Internet of Things device. But I need to interpret all that data. I need to interpret that data to figure out what it really means in terms of the position of the device in space. And we're going to see all this code at a deeper level in other sessions. But here, I'm unit testing these.
Okay, so you're testing the acceleration logic.
Exactly. Okay. I'm saying, given a certain amount of acceleration and a certain amount of spin, in this case, no spin whatsoever, what is the position in space of my device?
Excellent. And this is the kind of test we'd like to write against these types of libraries. We
exactly.
want to validate the calculations are correct.
Perfect business logic test, exactly. So I have a certain amount of gravity pulling at the different angles of my device. And so I can say, use that to calculate. We see update from gravity, and I can use that to calculate what the pitch, roll, and yaw of the device is, so I know exactly its position in space. And we're just validating that it meets our expectations. So we have our unit test here.
Great, and we can run this in VSTS.
Exactly, we built our unit test project as part of the solution. Remember, our release UWP
right.
did build that. And then we have a specific step to run it. And you can see it's actually just running anything named test DLL.
Now,
anything named test DLL will go in and look for the actual test defined in that and run them.
Now, do we get validation of the test passing or failing?
Absolutely. So while we could technically say, let this build pass even if any given step fails, the default is that if a given step fails, including our tests not passing, we will, of course, fail the build. And then, of course, appropriate people get notified and all that.
So our process here is not just validation of build, but it's validation of functionality as well.
Exactly. So we know that our tests are passing. We know that everything happened exactly the way, at least that whatever we've put in place to check has been checked. Exactly. So this is one way to handle this. Let me switch back here, flip back over here, to my Android build. And I just handled it a little bit differently. And the only reason I handled it differently is to show you guys that we have options. So over in Android, my Android build defined, and you can see that it's succeeded most recently, but it sure failed for a while before that.
Excellent. So you found this actually a really useful tool for
right.
really learning and setting this up as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And by the way, this is actually interesting because, of course, it works on my machine, but by going through these steps...
Doesn't that mean it works everywhere?
Exactly. Yeah. By going through these steps, I knew that when Adrian checked it out, it was going to work on his machine too, because now I had a fully working build. Everything was up, everything was working. So, all right, let me get to that.
Assuming that my build machine is configured correctly, of course.
Yeah, I mean, assuming you actually bothered to put the Android SDK on. That never happened.
So I see some similar steps here again.
Right, so we're grabbing those specific NuGet packages, just like before, including the test package. Now, however, I've got an interesting change. So this is the build Android. This is also a customized version of an MS build step. So this too actually just runs msbuild.exe.
Again, those tools that we're familiar with.
Exactly. And by the way, if you want more tasks, you come down here, you click add tasks, and you can find, you know, Android signing. We already actually have signing and aligning, but if we didn't, and we wanted to make sure we signed our executable.
And I think this is really interesting because this is a step that is unique to your Android project. Because I know some people out there are thinking, well, I've got a Xamarin Forms project. I like the same steps for all of my projects in my Xamarin Forms solution.
Why couldn't there be a way to just have a Xamarin Forms template that just built everything and put everything everywhere it needed to be?
And it's because not only is it unique tools, unique SDKs, and sometimes unique platforms for compilation, but there's even unique steps. And this is a great example. We design our APK.
Yeah, we have these unique requirements. So we have to kind of work with the requirements that we have. Android requires signing, requires zip aligning. So we work with that. So I have those, you know, unique steps, and I can add more as needed. But my MS build step. So this MS build step right here is actually pointing at the CS proj. And one thing I love about this is it means instead of pointing at the solution and having to heavily customize my solution, I just point at the CS proj, and MS build is actually intelligent enough to see that that directory exists in a context with other projects inside a solution, and that there are dependencies listed in this CS proj, that there are project dependencies.
Again, it like actually, your library, so like your acceleration library, maybe your UI definition for Xamarin Forms.
Exactly, exactly. Now the test library itself is not a dependency, so we don't have that. However, all of those other ones, the acceleration library itself, Xamarin Forms itself, those get built with this even though I'm not pointing at it. So they're getting built, and they're getting handled, and all of their NuGet packages exist, because I made sure of that. That I did have to do explicitly. So they get built, they get handled, and they'll end up in my drop. Now, of course, test is still special because that was not a dependency and did not get pulled in. So I have a separate build step now for my test proj. And then I run the test exactly as I did in UWP.
Fantastic. Now, when you were setting this up, did you do all the work here in the portal?
All the work, everything here was done absolutely in the portal. And honestly, not too much work. It was a matter of I cloned these, right? So I right-clicked and cloned these. And then I went through and modified a couple of these parameters right here. So we just went through and modified the parameters. And how do we do that? Well, a lot of it's going to be a little bit. You'll Google and say, all right, what do I, or Bing and say, what do I do for that particular value? And a little bit you'll act for visualstudio.com, but a little bit you'll also just say, I know it's NuGet.exe under the hood. I know it's MS build under the hood, so let me go look that up. Let me find the Stack Overflow article on that particular thing. So that is pretty interesting for getting a build for Android, for UWP, similar steps for our other platforms. But I didn't release like you did. I just put them in a drop folder right
Okay.
here. So at this point, that brings us to kind of another step, right? We want to release. We want to go somewhere with this stuff. And I do have, under build and release, we actually have releases. Now here, we can start walking through some workflows where, again, we can define approvals. We can say that we want to make sure that first, we're going to take the artifacts from our drop zone here. We can add artifacts directly from our drop zone there and have them go to an environment that we define, like our test slot.
Okay, and in terms of mobile, what would that be then?
In terms of mobile, well, we have some interesting other options there because this is where we kind of overlap. We have a little bit of overlap where we have some choices because we also have Visual Studio Mobile Center.
Mobile Center.
That's specifically for mobile and kind of provides a little bit more of a handhold approach, as a matter of fact. If you know you're going to be working with iOS, you know you're going to be working with Android, well, Mobile Center knows exactly how to handle those situations in kind of a way, again, sort of handheld, sort of a curated process, you told me earlier, and I love
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Should we have a quick look?
Let's do, yeah.
All right, so let's switch back over to my machine. And so we had a great look at Visual Studio Team Services. It's a fantastic tool. It's a great technology, and it's
we didn't even get to see all of it.
I know, we've got a small portion,
a limited amount of time, but there's so much more too.
And I would say I highly recommend it. But we did see that there were some complexities, especially when dealing with things like Xamarin Forms applications.
Exactly.
And so for mobile, though, we're very fortunate that we have another option. That's Visual Studio Mobile Center. Now this is in preview, but it's got a pretty robust feature set, and it's looking to ship later on this year. But
yeah,
you can use it now.
Pretty amazing and pretty easy. If what you're doing is mobile, it's exactly the thing.
Absolutely. So really, it's going to take care of there'd be some overlap there. It'll take care of the build and deployment. It's designed simply to get your applications built and deployed into the hands of your testers and into the hands of your users. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the supported platform. So it's mobile center. It is focused. It's focused at mobile,
right?
As we expect.
But not necessarily Xamarin Mobile. Really?
Not just Xamarin, but Xamarin's definitely a big part.
Xamarin is an ideal part, ideal choice, right, for sure.
So, but absolutely, so we see Android, we see iOS, but that's not specifically Xamarin Android, Xamarin iOS. We can use the vendor-specific tools.
So
we can work in Swift, work in Java, and still use Mobile Center. Of course, we have UWP support as well.
Outstanding.
We have React, or I'm blanking on the
React Native.
React Native, thank you very much. React Native, great tool, not one I use very often, but the one I do use a lot is, of course, Xamarin. And what I love about Mobile Center is we can do Xamarin with native UI, so Xamarin Mac, Xamarin iOS, Xamarin Android, but also Xamarin Forms. And we saw Jason had a few challenges with Xamarin Forms. Well, Mobile Center makes that a lot easier. So again, quick overview, what do we do? Well, we can do build, we can do testing, and again, like VSTS, but it's not just unit testing with Mobile Center.
Absolutely not. So we're able to actually do UI tests, integrate UI tests, and even still our UI tests automate our UI, click our buttons for us, do entries for us, and then we can validate. Did that show up in a list, the thing we put in the entry field? Or did the color change because we handled that task? Or whatever the validation is. We're actually validating something against the real-time running UI engine.
It's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
And if you've never done UI testing, it's not only is it a powerful tool, it's a heck of a lot of fun to do as well.
Yeah, very much.
And then we see some standard features, so things like crash reports, very valuable. Of course, analytics.
Right. Analytics I love because this is a sort of thing where you're evolving an app constantly and you want to find out, did the user actually use that new feature you put in? If they did, if they went to that page or used that new feature, how did they get there? They click the button on the main screen or did they click the button in the menu? You get to find that out. You get to put that tracing in and learn the usage patterns of your app. Really powerful.
And I want to talk just quickly before I jump to a demo about where we can pull our code in to use with Mobile Center. And we've got some options. It's primarily built around Git right now, so that means GitHub, Bitbucket, and of course, Visual Studio Team Services. And what I want you to understand here is that this is not a replacement for VSTS. It's really a companion to VSTS.
Right. There is a little bit of overlap, but they work together really, really well. Absolutely, because if you want to have your epics, your stories, if you want to manage certain types of deployments, then VSTS handles that beautifully for you. Other types of deployments, your analytics, hockey app, that works beautifully with Mobile Center.
So let's kick over to the portal. Let's have a quick look at Mobile Center.
Let's
just a couple of things I want to show you.
Perfect.
So I'm just going to switch over to my browser, Edge, and into Mobile Center here. And let's just go to my app overview here. And you can see I've created several apps. And of course, Xamarin University, I'm a Xamarin developer. And so I've got a UWP head project for a Forms application, an Android head project, and an iOS head project. So exactly as we would likely do with Xamarin Forms.
Exactly.
And I'm also a member of another project here. Here's an iOS application.
Similar to what we did in VSTS, we created head projects. We have created projects for each of our platform-specific environments there.
Yeah. And notice, I can also collaborate with other developers. Exactly the kind of things you want to do, well, to perform DevOps. And actually, I've got an outstanding invitation here. I'm going to hit the join button, and now part of yet, I'll have to refresh for that one. That's okay. But again, you see the invitations, and off we go. So I'm going to jump into the XAMU app here. This has not been released yet. But I want to show you a few things. So notice there's getting started right away, and it gives you some guidance. So it knows we're doing Xamarin.
Again, that hand-holding approach that kind of sets it apart a little bit. It says, we know you're doing mobile development, and we know that.
And again, notice it's built for Xamarin Forms. And so we have some instructions. We're doing Xamarin Native. I think this is an iOS app, so it'd be Xamarin iOS. We've got some instructions to pull in the NuGet packages. fire up the SDK, so we bring a couple of using statements, and then just make sure we kick off Mobile Center. And this is, of course, so the analytics, the crash reporting works.
Perfect.
But we've got similar steps for Xamarin Forms. Now, of course, this we set up for our iOS head project and our forms, and we still would do this for each head project, but we've got specific steps for Xamarin Forms. And again, it's a little bit less massaging for Mobile Center. It's a nice streamlined process for us as Xamarin developers. And then again, let's do a quick tour. I know we're a little bit short on time, but again, we can perform builds. I'll give this page just a moment to load, and we'll see if we'll have some builds that are successful, some builds that failed. And of course, that's going to be dependent on the code we checked in. And the build gets kicked off automatically by our check-ins.
Yeah.
And off it goes.
Perfect.
Some validation.
Exactly what we'd like, and then deploy to.
Yeah, we've got a testing page. We've got distribution. And again, you can work with collaborators. You can have other testers that get notified when your application's been built and released. And of course, things like crashes and analytics. So again, a really great tool and a really powerful tool for us as mobile developers.
Fantastic. Well, let's show them where they can learn more because we are right at that time.
Yeah, we are right
at this
time. So let's go back to PowerPoint and let's just kick this up. Lots of great resources for you here today. If you want to look at the source code, if you're curious to take a poke at our ASP.NET application, you can grab that here, aka.ms, netconf.xamu. We've got links to Visual Studio Team services.
Of course, Mobile Center.
Absolutely.
And of course, Xamarin University, where we love to teach this sort of stuff. We do it day in, day out. Live classes, self-guided free classes, your choice. Of course, once you take those self-guided free classes, you're going to realize that this stuff is so good, you also want to interact with us.
And of course, we have classes on things like testing, things like UI testing.
Absolutely.
And we cover exciting new technologies Mobile
Center. About 80 classes, so.
Yeah, we've got a lot of classes, a lot of scope, a lot of great things to learn.
Guys, thank you so much. We'll see you next session.
Thank you very much.